This is Market Insights, the Market Pulse podcast by Oanda.
I'm Johnny Hart. Let's join our guest for the day. It's Trader Nick in the USA. How are you doing, Nick?
Hey, Johnny. I'm doing well and good to speak with you.
Yeah, we haven't actually spoken since last week. And boy, oh boy, has it been a roller coaster over the last few days with those massive losses at the beginning of the week. I'd like to get your perspective on what has happened over the last few days, but also reflect on the fact that we do have a bit of a bounce back today. What is behind that?
Yeah, so without going in too much detail, I'll try and give everybody who's listening, who may be, you know, catching up on everything that's been going on, a high level summary of what many people are calling the reason for this. And let me just say, this is actually not an easy thing to diagnose in terms of what caused this big sell-off. There's many things. I've heard people say that, you know, a closing of the spread on who's going to win the election in the United States has caused some concerns, right? Not necessarily because of Harris winning or Trump winning, but because of the uncertainty of who could win. I've heard that be a concern. I've heard Middle Eastern conflicts be a concern for global markets as well. Could that cause a rise in oil prices and inflation resurge, or just spending be dramatic? There's so many different things. But then there's also what I would say is probably the most strong culprit of the mix, which is on Friday, you had a weak jobs data number come out from the US. We discussed that and how shocking that was, you know, really weak jobs data point. But then on the following Monday, we saw a very large capitulation move in the Japanese yen. Now, for listeners who are not familiar with the carry trade is a very popular phenomenon for hedge funds and large-scale investors. Now, the carry trade, in a nutshell, is basically because the Bank of Japan offers very low borrowing rates, hedge funds will borrow money from the Bank of Japan, and they will then deploy that where they think they can get better yield. And better yield could be in the form of bonds in the US, bonds in Europe, bonds in other places, or perhaps stocks in other places, stocks, real estate, business investment. The point is, the Bank of Japan is kind of like the world's piggy bank for the last few years, and people have been borrowing against the yen, selling the yen, buying other currencies to buy other, you know, assets. Most people can kind of understand that concept, but then the flood that happened on Monday was, you know, the yen has been strengthening in recent weeks, but there was a big capitulation move where we saw on Friday that jobs data point towards the idea that, okay, now the US is likely to cut interest rates dramatically. And if that happens, then the carry trade with the, you know, where, and we also, by the way, we saw the Bank of Japan raise their interest rates. So now you see that the spread of that selling or borrowing yen and buying other places for higher yield, that has narrowed and caused a lot of people, a lot of hedge funds and money managers to reverse course and back it up and go the other way, sell other currencies in order to buy back and pay their debts that are denominated in yen. So we've seen a little bit of the carry trade unwind concern come into the picture for markets. And here's the thing, that caused a big capitulation move. And you're asking, what about the buyback that happened in the last 2 days? Is this sustainable? That's the question that everybody's got in their mind. But I think that there is a possibility that that big flush in the yen to the upside and then coming back down today is a signal that perhaps we've worked off some of the global margin call that may have occurred on Monday and Friday. And maybe that is just a short-term thing. I mean, the yen has been rallying for the last few weeks, but we saw sort of that capitulation move on Monday. And maybe that was kind of like the grand finale. Now, I want to clarify, though, that I'm not saying that that is absolutely, you know, we're in the clear and things are all good. There are still concerns that the continued expectations for rate cuts in the United States and other places could prolong and continue the unwind of the carry trade, especially if recession fears stay strong. So overall, that was what caused the big drama in my view and in many, you know, other participants of the market. That is the kind of the main culprit that we see. The question is whether or not it's going to continue. And right now, it seems like with the Nikkei up 6% on the day, that perhaps some optimism that that was just a short-term flush of fear could be behind us. But again, it's a bit early to call, and markets are likely to stay very, very volatile. We've been seeing swings on the stock market of like 2% every day across the US stock market and other places, which is very, very much higher than we're used to in recent years.
And Nick, the volatility could continue because of the geopolitical concerns that you alluded to right at the beginning of this. And thank you, by the way, for a very good summary of what's been going on. I note that Brent crude and WTI are more than 3% up today. And I'm wondering whether that is because there is a ratcheting up of the Middle East worries as to whether Iran and Lebanon are going to attack Israel over the next 24 hours. Many people thought, including ex-President Donald Trump, he said, oh, it's going to be tonight, which was, I think, Tuesday night. Didn't happen, thank goodness. And there are some suggestions that the Iranians, through pressure from some of their allies, like Russia, like China, are perhaps considering not the same extent of attack on Israel, which, of course, for many, many reasons, would be a relief, not just from the human point of view, which is, of course, the most important, but financially as well. Because if we did see an extension of the Middle East war, it could create havoc in markets, particularly oil and gas.
Absolutely. And I think that, you know, you mentioning that part of the strong bounce back up 3%+ today, part of it certainly could be attributed to the risk premium that markets are probably applying to the price of oil right now. They see, you know, conflict in that region is kind of ever present, but obviously lifted in recent weeks with what's been going on. So I think that, you know, oil prices finding a low around the 73, they've been sold off. We've seen oil, I'm looking at WTI, by the way, WTI went up almost to 85 in early July, came all the way down to 73. Wow, what a volatility spike that is. You know, that's a huge drop in oil prices. But then finding really solid support, what seems to be right around this $73 a barrel mark. And the thing here is, if you think that the world is going to go into a global recession, that is probably going to triumph over most geopolitical tension concerns, unless you actually get something, you know, materializing. If there is actually attacks and escalations and war, and if that really starts to happen rather than just become concern, then oil prices will defy gravity on that front for sure. But you know, in terms of the global situation, a lot of people are still thinking the calls for recession might have been a little bit overdone, that perhaps, you know, one bad data point on unemployment numbers is not the end of the world, and that there are still many factors. For example, Atlanta Fed's GDP Now is still forecasting a 2.5% GDP growth for the remainder of the year. So you're still talking about many, many forecasters still calling for strength in the economy. And if that strength holds up, then oil prices could remain intact. Not to mention oil prices, if they keep going lower, we know what Saudi Arabia's game plan is. They generally don't like oil prices to go too low because it hurts their business. So there is also that. They could potentially reduce supply going into the global situation to raise oil prices. They have some levers, just like the Fed has some levers to try and jockey things around. So definitely worth mentioning on the oil price concept.
And Nick, I'm intrigued to know why market sentiment has changed a bit since the crash on Monday. You said earlier on that maybe some are suggesting that there isn't going to be a recession or a hard landing. What is the reason behind that?
Yeah, so because the market is so forward-looking, right, people are expecting that there is a possibility of a recession. But we know from historical, you know, examples, like in 2023, economists were expecting a 100% chance of a recession, and we didn't have it. So, you know, what many people, though, are pushing back on the recession terrors that we saw on Monday, many people are pointing to the idea that we've still got some pretty strong numbers. GDP numbers are still well in the 2%, which, remember, a recession is two consecutive quarters in the negative. So we're far off from that. We also do see jobs data, yes, cooling, but not crashing. It's not at you know, horrible, horrible levels. And we've also seen and heard from some individual companies in the U.S. that would show some signs of strength. Like, for example, Uber, which is a very traditional kind of grid company, right? That's a company that people use it to get around. Transportation is a good indicator of economic health. Came out with really rock star numbers. Now, you've had some other ones that have not been so good, like UPS, right? Earnings season has shown some goods and some bads, but the overall earnings season for the US, which a lot of companies have reported at this point, are actually pretty good. The numbers have been pretty strong for company earnings. So you've got corporate earnings looking pretty solid overall. You've got advanced GDP numbers, which came out strong. You had services PMI on Monday, which came out better than expected. And to the negative side, to the concerns about recession, there is also obviously some reasons to price in some higher possibility of one with jobs data like NFP coming out weak. At the same time, retail sales have been very, very slow. As I mentioned, some specific company earnings have not been so positive. So you got a mixed bag here. And I think that the market is not necessarily saying, oh, we are definitely going into a hard landing. They're just pricing in an increased possibility that that could happen. Whereas, you know, Johnny, a month ago, everybody was, oh, we're going to see a soft landing. That is just what's going to happen. Now I think the odds have, you know, shifted, not necessarily promised anything, but shifted.
Very interesting. I think the situation in the Middle East is going to be key, and how that plays out is going to have a big bearing on whether we see a softer or hard landing. Okay, Nick, thanks very much for joining us today. We'll speak to you on Friday.
Thank you, Johnny. Have a good one.
Market Insights, the Market Pulse podcast by Oanda.